And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine, excuse me, and the Philistine came, get a drink of water real quick. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the air, and to the beast of the field. Then said David, this will be our key verse for tonight's message. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's another key verse for this tonight, is 47. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, he took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, he's standing on the guy, and he took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that it would be a help. Lord, please speak to our hearts. And I pray be a challenge to our Christian life to draw us closer to you. Please meet the needs that are here, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, what was interesting in the you saw near the end there, the video of the Brinkerhoffs and the Bud, that was they just came to the church. I was on a furlough at that time. I knew they were going to fit right into this church. When those two started wrestling, right in the mud immediately. I'm like, oh, they're going to fit right in here. And Larry lost really bad in that wrestling match. in our text here, we come to David. We finished up, we talked last Sunday night about David. And we finished up dealing with where David and King, he went before King Saul. And Saul was just, you know, they were looking for a man. And David is there. He recognized that the reason why he was there was providential of God. And we talked about that a lot, of how God has a reason where he puts you right where you're at. He has a reason for it. He orchestrates things. He knew when his brother had told him that, listen, you're just here to watch a battle. You're not here for any good reason. And David said, no, that's not a reason. That's when he speaks those words, is there not a cause? And, of course, in context, what he's referring to is the very purpose why he was there, from his father sending him. And David is quickly realizing a whole other reason why God has him there. When he hears the words of Goliath, so anyhow, it's brought before Saul, we looked at as well. Saul selects David to fight Goliath. And so we pick it up at this point, where David is going to take on Goliath. Now, before I elaborate on the story itself, let me try and draw a little bit of where I'm going with this message tonight. We all have decisions in how we're going to live our life as Christians. All right? It's up to you. You can either live your life, we're going to use two words here tonight to make two comparisons and two ways you can live your life. You can either live your life by force or by faith. The choice is yours. You can live your life by force or by faith. Now, within our text, especially in verses 45 and 47, David described the battle definitely as one of faith. The Philistine comes out, you know, and he's got his armor and everything going on with that. I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And he's trying to talk threatening to David. But David lets him know right away, this battle is of the Lord. The battle is of the Lord. He knew Goliath was looking at this wrong. To him, it was not a battle of a giant warrior against a shepherd boy. It wasn't the battle. But it was the battle of the Lord. It was his battle. He didn't look at it as a battle between a shepherd boy and a giant. He looked at it as a battle for the Lord. I think it gives us a great example, a great illustration, and a great truth of how we need to face our problems. We need to face our problems by faith, and not by force. Now, I was talking with someone this week. It was primarily on the phone, and it actually took up a couple of hours, and the person is definitely facing a giant, if you will, in their life, a huge mountain in their life, and was just completely overcome with what they were facing. And I was doing my best to try and try and make the Christian life as real as possible to them, to let them know, now's the time when it gets real. It's no longer just a story about David fighting Goliath. It's no longer just a story when the wind and the storms are all around you. Now is when you have to be practical with your Christian life. Now is when you have the choice to make of how you're going to face this. And how you just can't keep your eyes on the mountain that is before you. That your eyes, in reality, have to stay concentrated on God as you take this simply a step at a time in recognizing that God is in control of your life. He's orchestrated where you're at today. And He's not going to leave you helpless. And so as we face our problems, are you going to face them by force or by faith? Now, the world's way is by force. I talked about this a little bit, might have been 2 weeks ago. It's the strongest, it's the loudest, it's the most athletic, it's the biggest. That's how they're going to look at the problems. That's how they're going to try and solve their problems, is through force. It's through force. For many of us, that's how we grew up. That's how we saw our parents solving problems. Was through force and not of faith. However, the world's way leads to anxiety. It leads to worry. Because listen, you are absolutely going to face problems that are beyond your strength. There's going to be times in your life when you're facing the 10-foot Goliath, and when you are used to solving your problems in life by force, and you come to face a situation in your life that is much bigger than you, the anxiety creeps in. It gets you. Because you're not seeing a way to solve your problem. Because the way you have been used to solving your problem has been by force and not by faith. Again, you will find yourself many times in life facing problems that exceed the amount of force you are able to exert. However, the way of faith certainly provides peace in the midst of any storm or before any giant. Because nothing you are facing is bigger than God. Nothing. There is nothing you will ever face, think of that, ever, that is bigger than God. Nothing. The Lord's way is to trust Him as He leads you. All right? To trust Him as He leads in your life and even uses different circumstances, as we looked at last week, to put you where you are. Don't miss the reason for why God has you where you're at. Jesse had sent David. That's initially what he was referring to when he said to Eliab, is there not a cause? But David was recognizing God's hand was in this. But that wasn't the only reason he was there. A major indicator of which life you are living, and boy, as I was preparing this portion, boy, was it convicting. One major indicator, I believe, of which life you're living, by force or by faith, is when you compare your planning life, your scheming, as compared to your prayer life. Which one is more in control? And I'm a planner. I mean, I like to see things laid out. I want to see it laid out, how I'm going to get to point B, to point C, to, you know, and so on. I'm a planner. So, and many of us can be, and that tends for me to be of that method of life that is more by force instead of by faith. Because there are times, again, when you're planning things out, all of a sudden you're going to see things, wait, I thought I was supposed to go this direction, but I'm not seeing a way there. There's something in the way. And boy, if you're not used to living by faith, you begin to change your schemes around everything else. You can take yourself right out of the will of God. When you do get to a place of living by faith, and once you're there, it doesn't mean you're always there. As we know, that can change day by day in our life. Just ask Elijah how well that goes for him. If I'm calling fire down from heaven one day to running from Jezebel the next. But when you are in a place, in a time in your life, when you're living by faith, you learn something. You learn everything else in your life sort of becomes settled. It doesn't mean problems disappear. They don't. But you have the perspective of David when he went to fight Goliath. You have an understanding that God is in control. You have an understanding that you are serving the Creator of the universe. When David went to fight Goliath, the fact that he was a giant, understand this, had no relevance on what David would do. David would not have did anything different whether he was a 2 foot tall little midget or 20 foot tall. It did not matter because what was important in David's life was not, this was not by force, it was not a measure do my abilities exceed his abilities? It's not what it was about. He lived this by faith. He lived this by faith. So again, the question is, how are you going to live? Especially when facing problems. It's easy to live by faith when everything's well. We're really good at that. And I'm great at it. Everything's fine. I can live by faith. But you throw a mountain in there. But the reality is, it's during the times of the mountain and of the giants that the character comes out. That's the times when it counts. So look at a couple things here about this. One, the faith life versus the force life. The faith life honors God. The force life will always honor and glorify men. And when you're living by faith, that will always lead the end result of glorifying God. Now, listen, we're great, even in churches and the secular, we are great at glorifying each other. We're very good at that. But the faith life will glorify and honor God. Notice in verse 46, let's go back to verse 46 right there. I want to read that again. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, that I will smite thee and take, this is David speaking, and take the head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that I am a giant killer. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't turn around and write a book, how you can be a giant killer like me. He was living by faith. The end result of a person living by faith, the end will always honor God. He said that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That's the result of living by faith. Others will know there is a God. People all the time, and of course I think it's a nonsense argument that you can't, you know, we hear all, you can't prove there's a God. I understand the essence of what they're saying, but wow! Look around you. it really is a nonsensical statement to make. And we just buy it. We look at some intellectual who happens to say it because he happened to go to school at Oxford, and he says, there is no evidence of God. Do you understand that man is literally a fool? A fool. And not only a fool because he rejects Christ, because he can look around at the order of the universe and come to the conclusion, it just happened. Again, Richard Dawkins, just in some of his more recent articles, has now convinced himself that nothing can produce everything. I don't know if you read those articles. They're absurd to read. He is now, that's his case. He's always known the weakest part of his argument is how did anything come to existence if there isn't a creator? He now is writing and putting ridiculous formulas to the test here of how nothing can create everything. And people are like, wow, what an intellectual. Really? We're going to take nothing in a vacuum. And just through the process of time, bam! Matter. It's absurd. The faith life will honor God. It is a life that acknowledges the Creator. It is a life that understands the principle of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it's just not a Sunday school verse, but it's how you live your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It's acknowledging the Creator and trusting Him. Because that is the only way that you're going to defeat your Goliath, the giants and the mountains in your life. What will happen is, just we can parallel this throughout so many different instances in the Bible where you have those who are successful and those who are not. And the problem in the Christian life, it is one of faith. When I was talking with that person in counseling, I said, understand, we're going to have circumstances time and time again that require faith. And the person said, oh, I don't want that. Well, it's part of life. Nothing I can do about that. I said, but understand, if you don't have that, your life is not going to be able to honor God. It are the stories that inspire us. When we read of a shepherd boy with this amazing faith, where we see him when he's at the battle of Goliath, he's right there. He takes all the armor off that King Saul gave him. I don't even want a sword. I mean, he knew it wasn't by force. It had nothing to do with it. He said, you know what? This is what the Lord's always given to me. I got a slingshot, I got some stones, and he heads out to the battle. Goliath now realizes who's facing him. And by his wording, he basically thought they sent out a little sissy to fight him. He's like, are you kidding me? How old is this guy? 15? 14? This is ridiculous. In his mind, no doubt, he's never faced an opponent as weak as this. And then he sees he has no sword. Not only is he this puny guy, but he has no weapon. And he looks, he goes, wait, you're going to throw stones at me. Like we throw stones after running a dog away? That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. And Goliath, you know, does his usual, I'm going to rip your head off. But then he hears a man speak to him, like he's never heard before. David was not intimidated. David speaks up and says, you have the soul. David knew he had the advantage. David knew he was approaching this from an angle of faith in God. He knew Goliath has no chance. He's like, you're such a dummy. You're like the stupidest guy I know right now. You come at me with your sword and with your spears. Are you kidding me? I am coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Hello? And he says, and I'm going to cut your head off. And then he addresses the army of the Philistines. Goliath doesn't say anything. He's like, that boy's nuts. And then it begins. And David takes off after him. I don't think you saw that before either. I don't think there's ever been a time when Philistines organizers or in Goliath's hired life of being a hired gun that this has taken place. And so David takes off running at him. And it's over within seconds. Nobody can believe it. Everybody thinks David's just going to get torn to shreds. No doubt the army of Israel is trying to hide and bury their jewels and everything like that. They're going to get raided right now. David takes off running. Bam. Drops. Down. Over with. It's over with. Nobody's saying a word. David walks up to him and steps on his body. I mean, I think I can't wait to watch this DVD in heaven. I really, I cannot wait to watch this DVD in heaven. I think it's dead quiet in that valley. I think everybody's like, and David reaches in and grabs Goliath's sword that he never bothered to get out of his sheath. And he cuts the guy's head off. And the Philistines decided to run. What everybody knew that day is that there was a God in Israel. That's what they knew. Do you understand? If we don't face the giants and the mountains, we're eliminating one of our strongest allies in the presentation of our faith and of the gospel, and is the power of our God in our own life. God is glorified and not men, and that is the purpose of our life. That's why sometimes you have to be careful even in some ministries when they begin to glorify man. They're becoming about force and not about faith. The end result of a life of faith is God is glorified. It's not whether you're right or wrong in a matter, but it's rather is God glorified. In other words, my purpose isn't to prove I'm right or wrong about something. It's what's going to glorify God. And certainly, and we all understand this, just because you're saved does not mean that you're living the faith life. I think we've already covered that. Christians certainly can struggle with carnality and begin living a life by force. Now, in our story, it's interesting, by the way, the Philistines determined all the rules of the battle. Read it. Israel did not. The world did. But it was nothing to the Lord. Nothing. To Israel, of course, when all the rules were laid out, they're like, hey, that sounds good. We're not going to have mass carnage on the field today. We'll send out our best. You send out your best. That sounds pretty good. But then they saw Goliath. Israel initially followed along because they too, the army of Israel, I'm not talking about David now, they too were used to living by force. They had Saul's army. They were used to living by force. And now when they're facing something, they've agreed to this challenge, and now Goliath steps out, and now they are facing something that is bigger than any single individual they have, and they don't see how they can get by this. They don't see a way around it. Because they were used to living by force instead of by faith. And of course, many Christians today live also by force, and the Lord is rarely honored by their life. When you're living by force, I'm mixing all my words up right now. Just like this morning, I could not think of the word downstairs. I couldn't think of it to save my life. Underneath, it was all the talk prison. Fine, I'm not kidding. It was going through my head over and over and over. And it was completely gone, that word, when I was trying to tell people, go downstairs for Sunday school. It just wasn't there. So now I am mixing all my words up. Anyhow, when you are living by force, you're not going to even put yourself in a position where you have to demonstrate faith. You won't do it. The teenagers sang the song, I will follow anywhere, everywhere. I will follow. If he's leading you home and leading you to McDonald's and then to Dairy Queen, I'll follow on. But what if he leads you in a direction that requires faith? If you're used to living by force, you're going to shirk that. You're going to turn from that. you'll never do as to use Peter as an example with one of my favorite illustrations in the Bible. I absolutely love it. What you'll never do when living by force. You'll never get out of the boat. Your Christian life, I'm speaking of the story where the Lord was walking on the water to Peter, and he said, and he called out to him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water." And the guy got out of the boat. And granted, he fell. He got out of the boat. He walked on water. And the other guys, they could have been as critical as they want. Complete Peter. He fell, didn't he? At least he got out of the boat. You can sit back and be critical of those trying to do something all you want. Because no doubt, I'll attempt things here and I'll fail. But at least I'm getting out of the boat. Secondly, the faith life, sad to say, can be rarely found. Just like in Israel. Went all the way to a shepherd boy. All the way to a shepherd boy who was hearing the talk of Goliath and actually had the concept down, this is the Lord's battle. You guys really think Goliath can defeat God? He believed that. He lived it. While others were used to living by force. I know it was certainly true in my life. I remember when I went on my second survey trip to PNG. It was August of 2003. We're making the move that October. Well, I get there, I'm by myself, and so my wife is always my encourager. I always like to have my wife with me. She's always served that key role in my life. And so I'm by myself, and I'm realizing more and more what we're heading into, and we are weeks away from arriving here. I was miserable. I mean, I don't know, Pastor might not remember this. This isn't right before I left for the field, but even from that second survey trip, I called you. I was just miserable. And thinking, what am I doing? This is absurd. I mean, I'm sitting there. It's so hot. I was making arrangements to have that place you stayed in with us. I am sweating to death. I'm like, what am I doing here? And again, my scheming mind, I was removing faith. The Lord never, to be honest, I'm not going to go into that whole story, but the Lord, I never got back to the place I should have been until I saw a bag of Doritos. To realize it's by faith. It's not by force. And that's a whole other story afterwards. That might not make sense if you haven't heard that yet. But what it leads to, when you're used to living by force, I'm going to show you some repercussions in your life. And this is not going to take long. The bulk of the message is done. I want you to listen to some repercussions when you're used to living by force. You lose sight of the greatness of God. You lose sight to the greatness of God. You lose sight of that. Of His awesomeness, of His power, of His glory. Secondly, you lose the reality of God. And it becomes more and more abstract in your life. Thirdly, it will steal the time of your prayer life or the heart of your prayer life. It'll steal one or the other. It'll be gone. Thirdly here, again, most of us are over it, the faith life protects. Goliath, with all his armor and all his weapons, he thought he was the one protected. I mean, remember, he even has another guy coming out to face. There's two of them walking out there. His shield bearer's coming out. You know, Goliath's coming out. He's all decked out in armor. He got his sword ready. His spear is ready to go. He got his armor bearer there. I mean, he's all protected. He thought he was the one protected. He was completely without protection. Completely. The only one protected there was David. And I'm talking physically. The safest place you can be is right in the middle of the will of God. The safest place to be. Look at Psalm 34. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 34. Look at a couple of verses here real quick. Great stuff. I would start in verse 1 for time's sake. I'm going to jump to verse 4. But it's really good to go back to verse 1 and get it all in context. But I'm going to start in verse 4. I sought the Lord, this is David, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It is the Lord who protects those that are living by faith. You have the Lord's protection. Again, the fact is, David had nothing to worry about. Nothing. Goliath was the one. And David understood. That's why he's running at him. I mean, he's just heading right out at him. Goliath was the one who had every reason to worry, because he was only looking at it from a standpoint of force, removing God out of the equation. And his problem was, his opponent did not remove God from the equation. The last thing here. The victory that the faith life produces has eternal consequences. The victory that the faith life produces has eternal consequences. When we live by faith, we do see amazing victories in our life. Just like with David, his victory had eternal consequences. I wonder about another man who was there, even a young man at that time, that watched the battle that day. Who, no doubt, I believe, was looking for some real faith. He wasn't seen at home because his dad was King Saul. The man's name is Jonathan. What he saw that day was real faith. I believe it changed him. I mean, it does. It has eternal consequences when we have these victories by faith and how God begins to use it in the lives of others. And you're not going to defeat the Goliaths in your life. They're just going to prevent you from the will of God until we learn to walk by faith. Remember, Israel tried to, they went without the power and the blessing of God into the promised land. God had already told them, you're not going in, because they lacked faith. They thought they could enter the land by force the first time, and they realized there's giants, they can't do it. This is going back to what, Numbers chapter 14, 17. And they realized they couldn't do it, and God was so angry because they did not have faith. He said, listen, that's it. This generation is going to die here in the wilderness. And then they realized it, and then they said, all right, we're going in. We got this. But they didn't have the Lord's hand with them. And force isn't nearly enough when we serve God. It takes faith. It takes faith. When we have victories by faith, the world notices. The world only operates by force. So when it sees a demonstration of real faith, it takes notice. It takes notice there's something different. And the faith life brings the blessing of God. It brings His blessing. We see that it's certainly in the life of David. It brings His blessing. That's what I want. I want the hand of God on my life. I want His blessing. The faith life will honor God and not men. Provides a measure of protection in our own life, both physical and spiritual. It's the way others can see God glorified through our life. And right now, we all face different things. We have different mountains and different storms and different giants that we face. And I understand it's easy preaching, but also understand I'm a 46-year-old man. I absolutely have faced giants and mountains. I have been there like you have at times, fretting and not seeing a way around it. Been there, done that. I've also seen God work in some amazing ways. And when I think in my life, the times that I witnessed God work, and if there was something in my life that the Lord come to me and said, listen, I'm going to remove certain memories from your life or certain events, let's say they did not happen. It's none of those. Those are what are most precious. And what's great about them is, when you face additional problems in your life, know what you can remind yourself of? What He already did. What He already did. So the question tonight is, are you living by force or are you living by faith? With every head bowed and every eye closed.